This is the VetMindWorks podcast, a podcast for everyone in the veterinary profession who is interested in how our minds work and how to work with our minds. Our mission is to share ideas, methods, and skills, enabling us to find better ways of working and living. The content of this podcast is entirely based on our personal experiences and opinions, and does not represent the opinions of our employers or companies we work for. Podcast episodes may contain descriptions of difficult life situations and references to mental health challenges. We strive to ensure that all our published content is correct. However, we cannot accept responsibility for any issues that may arise from the practical application of the contents of this podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the VetMindWorks podcast. I'm Petra Akter. Now, I've been reflecting a little bit, and we've now been running for over a year, which is a real privilege. And one of the perks of being a podcast host is getting to speak to so many lovely people. One of them is today's guest, Scott Kilpatrick, with whom I'll be discussing the topic of courage. Now, courage is a very interesting thing. As you will hear in the episode, I've never really considered myself a courageous person until I came across the concept that courage is not the absence of fear. In the conversation with Scott, you will notice that both of us neglected looking up the definition of courage prior to the recording. So I've gone and done that. And in the Oxford Dictionary, courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens us, or bravery, or also the strength in the face of pain or grief. And it is interesting that that really echoes the notion of courage is not the absence of fear. And this is very definitely my experience. And Scott also has got some really interesting reflections on courage. So I very much hope that you enjoy the conversation. Now, a little bit more about our guest, Scott Kilpatrick, who is a European and RCVS veterinary specialist in small animal internal medicine. Scott graduated from Edinburgh Vet School in 2007. Initially, he worked for the PDSA before taking a senior veterinary surgeon position with VetsNow in Edinburgh in 2010. Scott started his residency in internal medicine at the University of Edinburgh in 2012 after completing a year as a teaching fellow in anatomy and physiology. He completed his residency in 2016 after finishing his master's in the pathogenesis of canine liver disease and has since been working in referral practice. Interventional radiology is something that really interests Scott, and he spent some time in 2018 working in this area at UC Davis in California. Scott has created and delivered a postgraduate certificate in small animal emergency medicine in association with the University of Chester. Scott founded the Veterinary Thought Exchange, VTX, and its associated podcast in 2019, along with Liz Bode and Andy Bell. VTX provides online veterinary CPD learning in a variety of easy-to-use formats. In 2023, Scott was awarded Fellow of the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons for his meritorious contribution to clinical practice. Before we dive into the conversation with Scott, hear a little bit more information about our partners, Vin Europe. This podcast is supported by Vin Europe. Since 1991, the Veterinary Information Network, VIN, has been helping colleagues with providing all the knowledge you need for your next case, instant access to drug formularies, over 260 veterinary specialists in every specialty imaginable, weekly rounds, CPD, and an own virtual veterinary internship program. You name it, VIN has got it. Are you ready to join this independent community of nearly 100,000 colleagues? VIN is and always will be independent for vets by vets. Free trial memberships are available on VIN.com. And if you're a student, VIN is absolutely free. So it's an absolute pleasure for me to introduce Scott Kilpatrick. And I'm super excited to have a fellow podcaster on board with me today. So thank you for coming.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Slightly nervous, I think, because I am not used to answering questions in this way. So this is, you know, it's an unusual kind of role reversal, but I think a very good one for me. So I'm excited. So thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited.
Well, that's great. And in the pre-chat we just had before we started the recording, I was saying that I actually feel you are a very natural talker. So I am feeling a little bit nervous as well, which is just as well, because the episode is about courage.
Yeah. And I suppose that then we're both doing something courageous by doing this, right? So we're
totally.
So there's courage on every side. So that's good. Yeah.
So that's wonderful. And really, the reason why we are meeting is because I think, well, at least for me, and I think for you as well, courage is something quite important in our lives.
Well, I think, well, yeah, I mean, I think, well, I don't know about other people, but I think, I mean, I need it to get through every day. Like I said to you, I don't know, I wouldn't get very far without some courage, because I think everything, you know, there's so many things in just day-to-day life that feel like unachievable things, you know? And so I think probably courage comes into lots of different things, you know, not just in our veterinary professions, but in lots of different aspects of our life, I suppose.
Totally agree there. Yes, I absolutely agree. So we plunged right into it, haven't we? Quite often, I think we talk about different terms and different things, and they may sometimes mean different things for different people. So perhaps a good start would be to ask what courage means to you personally.
Yeah, and I think that for me is probably the cornerstone of why this is an interesting conversation, because I think, I mean, I probably feel like I should have looked at the definition of courage before we started talking. So I didn't do that. So I would say for me, just speaking honestly, I'm not sure that the word courage comes into my sort of day-to-day thinking. I don't end every day reflecting and thinking, gosh, I was courageous. So that I don't think happens to me at all. And I don't know if that happens to some people, but it certainly doesn't happen to me. So courage is something that is part of certainly my life, and I'm not necessarily aware that I am in any way being courageous. And I certainly wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't be a word that I would use to describe myself or what I get up to on a sort of day-to-day basis. But I suppose for me, courage is the ability to continue, because I think, you know, and to keep going, because I really think there are so many things, you know, I can only speak about my own experience. There are so many things about my life, my working career, my personal stuff, where I, you know, every day I think, God, I just won't do this anymore. I give up in some way. And I suppose courage is a way to keep going and to continue to try and be and do the best you can for yourself and for others, you know. And I think that probably for me is courage, is just to persist, to continue, to keep going. Because I think there are so many things that would just knock you off track and do knock you off track every single day. And so courage is not the, I don't know, the definition of the brave lion or whatever it would be. That's the funny thing. That's the animal that comes into my mind when we think about courage, is definitely the lion. But, you know, my children have books where, you know, there are stories about giraffes that want to dance, but they're not very good at dancing. But at the end of the story, they dance anyway in front of everyone. And that to me is courageous, you know, and I think, I suppose it comes in many shapes and forms. So yeah, just persisting, keeping going, keeping doing what you're doing and trying to do your best, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that. So persistence and taking on the day.
Yeah, and I suppose also the fact that one of the realizations I've had in life is that you will make mistakes, and, you know, you will probably have regrets. This is something that I've kind of sort of, I don't know whether I'm sad about this realization or not, but this is something that's come to me recently, where I think as a young, optimistic person, I really did feel like live life with no regrets, right? You know, and I suppose like that Frank Sinatra song, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention, right? So then that was kind of that aspirational piece, particularly when I was younger. And then you get a bit older and you realize, well, actually, I think I probably do have some regrets. In fact, oh, I've got quite a few regrets. And it's kind of letting go of that and realizing that nothing is perfect. You know, life will not be perfect, and you kind of have to let go of that to be able to continue. And I suppose there's courage in that. And this idea, I was listening to a brilliant podcast recently, this idea that forgiveness is that idea of letting go of the perfect past, this letting go of this idea that everything had to be perfect and will be perfect. And I suppose there's courage in the ability to forgive and move on. When I talk about forgiveness, I mean forgiving yourself, you know, and so I think that's part of that courage as well.
Yes, there is so much you touched on that I would actually love to explore. And a lot of it I so resonate with. So first of all, this book with the giraffes really stuck with me as well, which was sort of a little bit earlier, because that sort of seemed to me a little bit about being yourself, accepting yourself and your skills as they are, the giraffe dancing skill.
Yeah, yes. And that's not always easy, is it, to do that, you know? And I think also, particularly when you're surrounded by lots of very brilliant people, I don't know, in my own career, and people who seemingly are doing things maybe just better than you or more assured than you, or yeah, I think I spend my life sort of thinking that I'm going to be found out one day, and I'm not really a specialist, or I'm not really skilled enough to do X, Y, and Z. And so I think you've got to be comfortable with your own ability, haven't you? And the fact it's going to be different from other people, and that's okay. I do spend a lot of time, I suppose, like the giraffe in this book, thinking or trying to be like the other animals, like the lions or the zebras or the whatever. And I think it's okay just to be the giraffe and dance in that way, or and do your thing in your own way. But I think that still creeps in, that idea that, you know, maybe other people have got it figured out more than you. And maybe they do, but I'm more comfortable with the fact that that's okay. So maybe that's the difference. I'm more comfortable with the fact that that's okay. But yeah, I think you have to be very comfortable with your own way, which is going to be different from others. And again, that's fine. You know, that's fine.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot I can relate to. Yeah. And isn't it funny? Because I think, as you said, yeah, you put up the question whether other people have got it more figured out than you, because the more I speak to people, the more I've found out that actually they don't. And there's loads of giraffes or lions or whatever who actually don't feel that like they fit in, or they're looking at the other animals and think, oh, wouldn't it be great to be you?
But I think it's also just letting go of that. I don't know, I've been listening to a lot of other stuff. I picked up very recently, actually, just over the last couple of days, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about this kind of, you know, this concept of let them. So when, I don't know, when your partner doesn't want to run the 5K race with you, let them. When your friends forget to invite you out to lunch and kind of exclude you from something, let them. When your work are doing something that you don't agree with, and maybe they've made someone redundant, let them. You know, we spend so much time being consumed by thinking and dealing with things that we cannot control. And actually, if you just let people do their stuff, let them, then actually, first and foremost, that will free you up from so much stuff, but equally it will also allow them to show themselves to you in their way, and actually it all kind of works out in the wash. But just let them, you know. And I think so, let the lions do the lion thing, let them. Yeah, I find that really very freeing. Just, and I feel like I should name check the person who said this in their podcast, but I can't remember what her name was. But I just found it very, very sort of liberating. You know, because, you know, I for instance, like talking about courage, right? It came into my sphere just over the last couple of days where, let's say, I was kind of moderating a discussion forum, and I was really getting quite sort of distressed is the wrong word, but just really anxious about some of the delegates and the way they were interacting, and almost felt like I was being kind of questioned in a way that kind of in my head, I was thinking, God, they think I don't know what I'm talking about, right? So, which, you know, maybe that's what they thought. But it really consumed me, really consumed me. Now I'm projecting that. I don't know that that's the truth, but that's just what was in my mind. And actually, to take a step back and just think to myself, right, whatever they're doing, just let them. I'll continue to do what I am doing to the best of my ability. Just let them do that. Whatever they are doing, that's fine. And because I can't control that, you know, I need to let that go. And I suppose there is actually even, you know, there's some courage there where you have to be, you just have to just let some stuff go, you know. And I find that very, very freeing to just get rid of some of that, because I think we spend a huge amount of time thinking and ruminating on things that are not even true. There are the thoughts, you know, the majority of things we worry about are not fact. Is, you know, they are projections that we have in our mind. It's, you know, and I think that again is something that I struggle a lot with, you know. And so my ability to navigate the day is hampered by my own thoughts about situations that aren't even true. Is that true? No, it's just kind of the narrative that I've created in my mind. And that's the thing that holds me back the most. But, you know, so let them. That has something that has helped me massively recently.
So courage to let be, and courage to let other people be, courage of letting go of control. I can relate to that. That's one of my biggest opportunities for growth, as they say, letting go of the need to control or the sense of needing to hang on to stuff. And also, you mentioned forgiveness a little while ago, which I also find massively interesting on a sort of personal level, forgiving yourself. And then also what you were saying about letting other people be, that to me also carries a little bit of a notion of forgiving others for being themselves and forgiving others for doing what they're doing, which we also need courage for.
Yes, and I think all of these things require courage, and the forgiveness thing is really, really powerful. And I think forgiveness again is a bit of a letting go piece as well, because really without forgiveness we can't really move on at all. And I think it doesn't mean that you have to be best friends with that person. You know, you don't have to be associated with them ever again. But I think that forgiveness allows you to move on. It allows them to potentially move on. And I think that's really important. Forgiveness is important. None of us are perfect. I certainly am not. I'm not sure I totally quoted properly earlier on, but this idea that forgiveness is giving up on all hope of a better past. That's the words I wanted, where I think that for me is, it took me a minute to think about that, you know, forgiveness is giving up an old hope of a better past. But actually that really, really resonates with me, where you can't do anything about that. And you really do have to let that go. And all of that, I think, involves courage. And, you know, but it's just not a word that I would associate with anything normally until you're faced with it, you know, so let's talk about courage. Well, actually, hold on. Courage is a part of all of this. It's involved in all of this. And I don't want to paint myself as at all as like this courageous person. But if I didn't have courage, if we didn't have courage, well, I would have crawled under a rock ages ago and just disappeared, right? Because why would I want to keep going? Like, there has to be some courage involved somewhere, because otherwise I would have just given up, I think.
And I fully agree with that. For me, I think I never really thought of myself as a courageous person at all. And I definitely never been a lion, I don't think. although some people might now disagree, because I've always sort of struggled, certainly in social situations, with sort of self-confidence and self-esteem and all these things. And it's been a really long journey for me to kind of let go of that, let go of any assumptions or needs or whatever, and actually look at, okay, fine, what is it that I want? What is important to me? And then focus on that and not on the other animals in the zoo. And I came across this concept that courage is not the absence of fear. So you might have fear. You might be actually a fearful person, which, I mean, I'm very familiar with anxiety. And it doesn't, being courageous doesn't mean that we haven't got fear, because then we wouldn't need courage, right? If we didn't have fear, we would just go and do it without actually even having a drop of adrenaline running around. So that, for me, changed a lot. And then over time, it then put myself onto a trajectory where actually I did reflect a lot on courage. So from that sense, I think our lived experiences are a little bit different, even though courage plays a really quite central role.
Yeah. And I think all of our abilities to cope with different things, and, you know, it's all very different. Like, I think I probably struggle less with kind of social anxiety as far as being the life and soul of a room or a party. Like, I don't really struggle with that, you know, sort of side of things. But I have so much, professional anxiety. And I've used a lot of really destructive coping mechanisms over the years to try and cope with a lot of that. In fact, to cope with a lot of this, you know, stuff in my life that I didn't really want to face. And so that's sort of changed more recently, you know, and I'm hopefully using less of those kind of destructive mechanisms. And so, but then it takes courage. If you are using coping mechanisms that are not always that healthy, then removing them, actually, I've had to find some extra courage to then face the things that I was numbing, you know, with things like alcohol or whatever, you know. So I think that's been some extra courage needed recently to try and, you know, combat some of those demons, you know. So I think it comes in all sorts, but I've never, it's funny, it's different, you know. I've never, I could walk into a room and feel comfortable in that way, but then if you put me on a platform to talk about something veterinary, I would feel a little bit different. Or do you know what I mean? So I think it depends so much on the people's different anxieties and circumstance and all that kind of stuff.
Totally. And which is why I think it's so important to talk about it, because there are very many different varieties of how we might experience challenges, but then also how we might cope with them in a helpful way. So we've wonderfully plunged into the subject, and I think we kind of covered a lot around the question that I had actually wanted to ask you first, which was in which way courage has been helpful for you professionally or in your life in general. I just wonder, is there anything else you would like to add on this?
I don't know. Like, I suppose, you know, there's other elements of my life where courage maybe has been important, and things that I don't maybe talk about or think about. But I suppose, when I was growing up, and I suppose coming to terms with my sexuality, you know, I felt there was a lot of courage involved with that. When we made the decision to adopt two children, I think there was a lot of courage involved in that. When, you know, so there are other things that I think, I suppose, I don't give myself credit for. I watch things on television and think, oh, that's so courageous. And actually, you know, I've been through some other things in life that are challenging, you know, and I have involved courage. But I don't think in the midst of all of this, you think to yourself, gosh, wasn't I courageous? You know, I've never thought that ever, you know, and I think there are so many more courageous people than me and going through so much more challenging, adverse situations. But I suppose those are the other two things that would stick out that potentially had courage involved in them. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I think you were saying there, well, perhaps that was courageous. And so I think the power of hindsight can sometimes be probably more enlightening than what we feel in the moment, because in the moment we might just feel the dread. But actually then when we look back, it's and look sort of down the slope we've come up, it might be very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think probably that's true. But until you're faced with the question, I'm not sure I ever would have, you know, I ever would have thought that. But yes, looking down the slope, yeah, there was some courage involved. Yeah.
That is great. And continuing up the mountain, that's the thing, isn't it? As you said, continuing and facing and...
Yeah, yeah, every single day.
Carrying on, yeah.
Yeah.
One other thing which kind of crossed my mind earlier on, which I forgot to say, because you were talking about courage and the definition of courage. I also don't know the official definition. I will look it up.
Yeah, we should look that up.
And put it in the introduction of this episode. however, what I do know is that from the origins of the word courage, there's the word heart in there. So there is this notion of going with a heart, with a full heart into some things.
And I'm not sure how much of a sort of cerebral person I am in that way. You know, I do feel that most of my decisions are led by more heart than head, as far as, and I'm not sure I'm not saying that that's necessarily courageous, but I certainly feel like I'm led more by that than sort of a real strong, intelligent thought process. I think that, like, I always say, you know, I run my own business, but I'm never going to be a millionaire because I just want to give it all away for free. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I don't know, that's not very courageous, but I think it's really, you know, I am definitely very led by what my heart says rather than anything else. Yeah. Yeah.
To me, but then I might be biased because I'm also led by my heart a lot of the times with decisions. To me, that requires courage, because it's not always easy to do the things that you feel are right to do, even if your head might tell you this is an awful idea, or it would be so much easier if you wouldn't do that. And then listening to what is important to you, or listening to the things that you feel are right, even though the circumstances might not be perfect for making that decision, I think is at least to me, courageous. Yeah.
Yes, no, I agree. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So you shared some of your challenges and where courage has come in and how it relates to some other things like forgiveness and regret. Actually, regret is something which has featured in my thought processes recently a lot as well. And actually, we need courage for that as well, because we need to look back and think, oh, this has happened. And it's whether it's something that you did, or whether it's something, a situation which you regret that happened, that still requires courage, because looking at things at face value and accepting them as they are can be quite hard, can't it?
Well, God, I mean, terribly, deeply, you know, if there's, you know, shame, regret, you know, look, you know, turning the lens around, or whatever the phrase is, and look, you know, back on yourself. And, you know, like I said, it, you know, it might, you know, the outcome could just be, well, that, you know, I might as well just not bother, you know, because it's just because that was, you know, deeply regretful or shameful or whatever. And I've absolutely had more than one moment like that, And I'm sure there will be many more. And I think, you know, actually that took me a long time to come to terms with that. And I suppose, again, it feels sort of slightly uncomfortable saying so, but I suppose there must be courage involved in continuing us having this conversation, you know, because yeah, I think it's all kind of wrapped up in the same stuff. And it's funny, isn't it? Because I presume everyone, none of us are perfect, but for me, the struggle is, I always think that I must be the worst. Like, I always think that I must be, yeah, but I'll have done it worse than anyone else, or I'll have made more mistakes or done things that no one else has done. Or, you know, I think that's another thing that I'm like, but I must be the bottom of the barrel, you know, as far as, you know, that the kind of mistakes and all that kind of stuff. But I know I'm probably not. I mean, we're all human beings, you know, so I think, you know, but that's another thing where I'm thinking, gosh, I mean, yeah, people say they've made mistakes, but have they made as many mistakes as me? Have they made as bad a mistake as me? Or, you know, and I suppose that's another negative narrative that I create in my mind. But that's a battle that I have every single day. And so that lens is really tough when it's turned around on you. And I suppose that must all be wrapped up in some degree of courage somewhere along the line, you know?
I would think so. And isn't it interesting? I'm absolutely certain that you are a perfectly normal human and a perfectly normal vet with a perfectly normal skill set. And yet there is a narrative which tries to convince you of something different. And I'm also totally convinced that the same narrative is in, well, I'm guessing here at least 50%, if not more, of people who we work with. So it is, well, A, it's very courageous to talk about it, because I think it's very courageous to talk about what's going on in our own heads. And I will tell you that in terms of what professional confidence is concerned, I was, well, for a really long time, not a confident radiologist at all. I was the person who would be sitting on the fence a lot of the time and taking just massive amount of time to come to any decisions. And it's really strange. I mean, I think for me, age has definitely helped. I mean, after a while, you just think, you know what? Yes, I can ruminate on this for a lot longer, but actually, is it going to change anything? Probably not. And errors will occur, whatever you do. And we all know that rationally. It's just that interesting that we don't feel like it when it's us who made the error.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think mistakes are unavoidable, and whether that be professional or personal. And I think we need to come to terms with that, professional and personal. And I think age helps. Yes, it really does. But equally, you know, I think there's an invincibility that comes with being young. And that begins to wane as you get older. And I feel less invincible than I ever did. But I think that's probably healthy. You know, I think that probably losing that idea of invincibility, you know, wrapped up in a little bit of kind of youthful arrogance or whatever, I think there's nothing wrong with that. I feel less invincible than I ever have done, but I think I'm you know, I feel like I have so many more healthy coping strategies than I ever have done. And I think a lot of that is to do with actually meeting a lot of very courageous people within the profession over the last 3 or 4 years, you know, people that I would never have thought existed that have become or taught me a huge amount about things that are not to do with internal medicine necessarily, you know.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think that it's a lot of the time, it's the stuff which they don't teach you at vet school, which actually props everything up in a sense, and which is so important to engage with and to talk about, which is why we're doing this, I guess. And it leads quite nicely into something I wanted to ask you, which is how you might cultivate courage, or how you might, whether there's any techniques or anything that you're aware of. Although I would guess, as you mentioned, that courage hadn't really consciously featured. I'm not sure whether that's something that you relate to.
Yeah, I think there's lots of things as far as, you know, consciously, I suppose, being more courageous is about kind of, in some ways, dampening down the noise around you as far as what you think, you know, everyone else is doing or saying. And I think really, it's the same stuff, you know, really just trying to focus on the fact that, you know, you in your head, everyone is talking about you, everyone is judging you, everyone is saying this about you, everyone is thinking you should be doing this. The reality is they are not. The reality is they are way too busy thinking about themselves and what they are doing and what their situation is. They're not thinking about you. They're not thinking about you. They're not. So, and then suddenly, okay, well, I've shed that layer and I feel a little bit more courageous. But you know, you know, understanding that thoughts are not facts, that will immediately make you feel more courageous. Because if I turn around and say, well, actually, hold on, I'm thinking all of these things that this person is thinking and saying about me. Do I know that? No, I don't. Okay, so now I feel a bit more courageous again still. And then actually, if this was my colleague telling me the same stuff, what would I tell them? What would I say to them? So let's have this conversation with myself. Turn it around. What would you advise other people? And I would say to them, stop. What are you talking about? None of this is true. This is a narrative that you are creating because you're anxious or whatever. It's not happening. None of it's true. They're not thinking that. Do the thing. Be brave. Be courageous. Do the thing. So, but it's all external. All the things there are to do with external noise that the majority of the time is not actually real and you are creating in your own mind. And so remove the noise, you know, turn down the volume on all of the other stuff. And that will absolutely allow you to be more courageous and do the thing. You get rid of all the other stuff and you do this, and then you can do the thing much easier, you know, much easier.
So dampening down the noise. So you were talking about taking a step back, thinking about how would I talk to a friend in that situation? So actually creating a little bit of distance between your thoughts, not identifying with them, I guess, so closely, taking a step back and then focusing on the things which matter and dampening down the things which don't matter, which are in that moment the other people or what the other people might think, and challenging whether or not what you think is true is actually true.
Yeah. And then actually, you know, coming kind of back to what I said previously. So once you've done all of that, and let's say that it is true, you know, they are saying that thing or doing that thing. Well, let them. And then, you know, so it might be true then. Okay. So if it is true, then let them. Then we've expelled it all. We've got rid of all, because, you know, then that's it. And I know it sounds, you know, I messaged an internal medicine colleague or shared this concept on social media yesterday. And an internal medicine specialist colleague, you know, messaged me back privately and said, look, I mean, God, this is great, isn't it? But it's hard to practice in real life. But actually, and I've only had this knowledge for a day, I can't tell you in 24 hours what difference this has made. But actually, it's about just kind of forming these habits and see once, like, I'm going to get it tattooed on my wrist, maybe not, But let's say I might just let them and just constantly have it there. But you know, I think it's just about adopting these practices. And I think I'm conscious of the fact that I'm kind of speaking like I know what I'm talking about. You know, I've had a lot of kind of help with professional people that have, you know, helped me with all of these tools, and other veterinary professionals, people like Katie Ford and others who have really given me all of this stuff, you know. So I'm just regurgitating what I've learned. But this is stuff that genuinely, like, really, like, I use every second of every day. And it really, I can't tell you how much it helps. You know, these things really do make a difference, I think. Yeah, so just cancel out the noise. And then if the noise is real, then let them.
And what I also heard in there is that although you might let the ones who maybe saying something or whatever, or what do whatever you don't necessarily want them to do, I also heard in there that there's connection with people who actually were helpful, or people who are role models, or people who are in the same boat, or who actually are probably just there and nice. So it's also about connecting to the people who are helpful.
100%. And I'm sure you found this. Like, I think what I love about having my own business, my favorite part of having my own business, is being in the position where I can select the people that I get to work with. That 100%, I don't really care about anything else. What I love is the fact that I can choose the people that I work with. And that is my favorite thing. Because that's great. Because I'm not saying that there's loads of people I don't like, but I just get to work with the people that I love. You know, and I love to work with the people that I love. So, you know, and I think that's it. And I think I've been so lucky through my career over the last few years to kind of just bump into, through social media and different means, just some of the most incredible people. Obviously, we mentioned Katie Ford. I think she is an incredible human being, incredibly, regardless of all the stuff she knows, she's just really nice. She's just a nice person. And she is also loyal and kind, and she's a good friend. You know, she's a good person to have on your side. And so I'm lucky to call her a friend now, but there are people who I've chatted through, you know, on my own podcast, who, you know, people like Rosie Alistair, who've had just such an amazing impact in the veterinary profession. And they're just humble and quiet and not, but their impact is infinite, you know. And Janika Patel, you know, who is spoke a lot about kind of her experiences as a woman of color, and talk about courage. I feel like I've got no room to speak when it comes to people like that, where people have made judgments, made comments towards her about her race, and, you know, just all of that's courage to continue to speak and be an example to people. There is real courage, not me, you know. They are courageous, or, you know, and I there you go, that's better, that's a good example, you know, of people that are just inspiring and courageous and brilliant, you know. And yeah, so many, I feel like I forget people, but there's so many people I've spoken to that are going to be better examples of courage, certainly, than I ever would be, you know. So I'm very lucky to have met so many wonderful people.
Thank you for sharing that. I really love all the stuff that you've been sharing, and I do think that you are a wonderful person to talk to as well. There is a friend of mine, she always talks about people she likes to have on her sofa, like sofa people. So there's the group of people she would want to have to sit on her sofa. And as you were talking about the different people, it kind of, that came up for me, that you were talking about the people who you're happy to have on your, sitting with you on the sofa.
Yeah. 100%. And there's so many people, you know, just, yeah, people don't realize, do they, how inspiring, courageous, brilliant they are until you ask them about, you know, and then suddenly you're like, and I think that's for me, like the thing where I don't think, just people don't realize. And then you're like, you have to almost say to people, sorry, just a reminder, what you've just told me or what you've just said, that is really cool. That is really inspiring. That is really whatever. I think people just need reminding. You know, it's amazing how the first thing people say to me when I ask them to be on my podcast is, but why would anyone want to listen to me? Or why would anyone want to listen to what I had to say? Well, let me show you. I'll show you. And I'll not show you because I'm particularly skillful. I'll show you just because I'll ask you, tell me about who you are and what you've done. And then lo and behold, you're really, really cool. And you didn't even know, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't even take a hard question. It just takes, tell me about who you are. And then suddenly, oh no, you're very cool. You're very cool, you know?
Well, you are. There we are.
Well, thank you. That's great. As are you.
Well, I don't know about me. That's the thing, isn't it? It is. I told you, it's in everybody's head.
Yeah.
Time is escaping. This is just, I could carry on chatting, really, for quite a while. As we haven't got all night, sadly, I was just wondering, is there any, have you come across any sort of pitfalls or difficulties, or did you ever really find something really, really hard in relation to courage?
I think the hardest thing for me has been that I wonder whether I kind of got lost in just how overwhelming life became, you know, for me generally, whether, you know, and I became very overwhelmed with my career. As I've said a million times, and I'll say it a million times again, I became more and more unhappy and more insecure the more qualified I became. So I was very, very happy when I first qualified and I was working at the PDSA. I had a great time. And as I became more and more qualified, as I did my residency, as I became a specialist, I became, I think, more and more unhappy as I became more and more qualified. And I thought the qualification would just be, you know, the thing that would give me sort of happiness. And it didn't. And then I took on more and more responsibility. I adopted two children and it all just became too much. And I think my biggest pitfall was that I then just didn't really face any of that. Again, I just found sort of unhealthy ways of kind of coping with that. And as I that kind of spiraled, I became more and more unhappy with myself and more unhealthy. And just the whole thing just kind of fell apart, quite literally. And I think my biggest pitfall was that I didn't know what to do with it all, you know, and I just tried to keep it all kind of spinning. And it all just crumbled and crashed. And so I think, you know, probably, you know, again, only now that we're talking about this, but really, for me, the true courage came in, you know, reaching a very, very low point and then having to find a way back, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm back, but I'm saying find a way, just to try and find a way through. And so the biggest pitfall, I think, for me was not having the courage to be courageous and losing the ability to even think that I could do it, you know, and so you just, I lost that and then just tried to kind of find ways of dampening that awful feeling down. And so, you know, that, yeah, I lost the courage to be courageous. I don't even know if that's a thing. I just made that up. I don't know if that's a thing, but that's how those words, I think, accurately describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, sounds like when we're talking about hope, I think before we started the recording, we were also talking about hope, and it kind of just came up back in my head there as you were saying. So not having the courage to even start the journey of looking at things and sort of start unfolding the stuff which had been there. But, well, you have.
But I remember saying to someone, I don't even know where to start. I felt like it's that, you know, that idea of just the biggest ball of string or elastic bands. And I don't even know where the end is. I don't even know where the end is. It just feels like it feels unachievable. It feels unachievable. And then, so therefore you just don't face it, you know? And I felt really, honestly, that it was an unachievable thing. And I don't feel like that today. You know, I don't feel right speaking to you now. I don't feel like that, but I feel like you have to keep on top of it. You can't, this is not like coping with life for me is not like, okay, so you do the course about coping with life and then you get the certificate and then you cope with life. That is the opposite of what this is. Do you know what I mean? So this is like, every single day I have to do something. And I never thought I'd say these words. Like, this is like, this sounds like something Oprah would say. Oprah would be like, you need to work on yourself every day. But you do. Like, I'm telling you, that is really actually factually true. That is fact. Because if you don't, then, you know, so I need to listen to a podcast or do or read a part or a chapter of a book or really surround yourself with stuff that is helpful in order to keep this together, because it needs constant work, because otherwise it falls apart. And again, I can only speak for myself, but that is my experience for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you have found the starting bit of the rubber band. And you have started undoing everything, and you are working on it every single day. And it sounds a little bit like the position I was in like 10 years ago or so, where I was consuming every single book, every single podcast, every single little snippet of these kind of things to keep me on the straight and narrow, because it is life is not easy in this sense.
Well, the only thing it made me think of is, again, I don't want to be that person that just throws out, you know, other people's quotes, but I do think it kind of something that we shared recently where, you know, I think it was, I can't remember again, I'm so bad at remembering who said things, but this idea that we need to stop pulling people out the river. We need to work out why they're falling in the first place. And I think the veterinary profession is bad for that, where we spend a lot of time pulling people out of the river. And I don't know, I'm not blaming the veterinary profession for my problems, but it was a part of it, you know, and I think we need to be accountable as a profession for individuals. And there again, as a profession, we need to be courageous and honest with ourselves and try and work out why people are falling in. And that's not just me, you know, that's multiple people. And so I know that for sure. I'm not the only person that fell into the river. You know, I think most of us do at some stage, but I think we need to work out why that's happening, you know.
Yes, totally agree there, which is where there's the accountability and responsibility for each individual for themselves, but also as a community, and I suppose also the organisations that we work in. Yes, I mean, sometimes it is, the work is stressful, and there are certain things which predispose us to falling into the river, and I think they need to be named and they need to be worked on to avoid this happening. This has been an absolute wonderful conversation, Scott, and I do hope that we can get you back, perhaps on forgiveness at some point.
Oh, listen. I think it's really important to sort of to say I'm only speaking from my own experience, and again, you know, speaking as truthfully as I can about the ways that I have navigated things, and I really think about this stuff a lot. I think about forgiveness a lot. Yeah, I now think about courage. I didn't think about courage before. I love the fact that I've, you know, this new you know, thinking about things in different ways. So no, I mean, it's been a, you know, I would chat all day, you know, and I'll try and be better at remembering whose quotes I'm using. I'm just like, someone said this, I can't remember who they were, but they were very clever. So yeah.
It's fine. I get overwhelmed with quotes because I love them as well. And oh, by the way, that's one of the things I wanted to say that I forgot earlier on. I love the mind quotes that you send through on LinkedIn. I really love them.
It was funny. That was, you know, when we sat down around the kitchen table and created, you know, VTX, the company I refer to. You know, we provide clinical CPD ultimately to the veterinary profession, but that was like from day one. We said we're going to have this element of kind of mindful, this mindful element to what we're doing. So from the very beginning, that was part of what we kind of wanted. And it's amazing, actually, you know, I realize we're not changing the world, but the number of messages we get privately about certain things we've said is amazing. And so I think you can't underestimate the impact that words have on people. You know, and so I'm very passionate that we keep just putting out that, because I think it does help in some way. And if it does, then good. I'm, you know, of course, we want to have a positive impact in that way.
Please do. I love them. They're really good. Before we come to what you do, is there anything in terms of podcasts or books or any other resources on courage that you might want to recommend to the listeners?
I think probably not necessarily specifically on that topic of courage, but I wonder whether really, you know, just talk kind of on the theme of what we've been talking about generally, I would honestly encourage people to surround or immerse themselves in whatever podcast, book, because actually tapping into a podcast, a bit of a book on a regular basis, I can't tell you the positive impact that has had on me. So, you know, and I'm not sure that it matters necessarily specifically what the topic is. I think that, you know, if you are, I don't know, a really good example would be if you are trying to, you know, I mentioned a little bit about kind of, you know, using unhealthy crutches. So if you're trying to cut out alcohol, for instance, and not use that, I found in my kind of sobriety sort of journey, I found I couldn't have done that without podcasts and reading certain books on a daily basis. So anything that I'm kind of struggling with, I'm using those kind of means to kind of tap into what's available. And I suppose, and sometimes I will just type into Spotify or whatever, type in courage and see what comes up, or type in, you know, forgiveness. And actually that for me has been an amazing way of kind of, what are the best podcasts discussing forgiveness? What are the best podcasts discussing, you know, dealing with death? What are the best podcasts about dealing with sobriety? And actually I've found, and I couldn't name them all now, but I've found so many different resources just by doing that. So I think I would, my advice really is to be immersive, and there's so many different podcasts that I've benefited from. You know, that would be my advice though, I think.
Brilliant. Thank you. And now finally, before I let you go, this is the plug zone. So please tell the listeners all about what you're doing.
So I am I'm the founder and director of a small animal veterinary CPD company called the Veterinary Thought Exchange, or VTX. I set that up with Liz Bode, who's a cardiologist, and my husband, Andy Bell, who's a veterinary nurse. So we run this. It's an independent startup we're very proud of. We've been doing that since 2019. We provide CPD, online. We have an online platform, but we also have kind of quite interactive elements through our podcast and our social media. So I like to sort of CPD with a bit of humanity and heart, maybe, with a personality attached. Quite a lot of it's my personality. So if you didn't like me, then probably wouldn't sign up. So that gives you a taster of the CPD journey. So I think that is what we do, and I'm very proud of what we do, and I'm very proud of our podcast, which is really just not as wonderfully thoughtful as yours is. Yours is wonderfully thoughtful and wonderfully considered, and mine is slightly chaotic and jumbled, but people seem to like it and I'm very pleased. So there we are. But I'm very proud of the podcast. Very proud of the podcast. Yeah.
And I love it as well, because I think, as I said, I think you're a really natural talker, and it is really easy to have a conversation with you, which we noticed today.
And just a last thing that I think is really important to say, I think is I always remember that the podcast started as a lockdown project with my best friend in life, who is not a veterinary professional. She is just my best friend. And she and I still do that to this day. And it's the biggest joy doing that with her. I get to do a fun thing that has been great with my friend, and really that's what it comes down to. I just love doing it with her, and actually we were working out today, we've been friends for 30 years. 30 years. Gosh, how sobering is that? So we have been friends for 30 years. So that's pretty cool.
Another sofa person.
Oh, she's what? Oh, gosh. Yeah, she's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm very lucky to have good friends, and she is definitely one of them. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Scott. I really, really appreciate this conversation, and I'm sure that the listeners will take a lot from it as well.
Oh, I don't know. It's been a real pleasure to, first, to be asked, but to really chatting to you. And I really, again, say to you, I really, really, truly appreciate what you're doing and the conversations that you're having. And I think you also should be very proud of that. So thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And as I said, I hope to have you back pretty soonish.
Okay. So
hang on there. So this was our episode on courage with the courageous Scott Kilpatrick. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you liked it, it would be lovely if you could rate us on your most favourite podcast platform. And don't forget that you can also follow us on either LinkedIn, Facebook or Instagram. And I look forward to welcoming you back in a few weeks when we're going to talk about the topic of self-regulation. Until then, goodbye. Thank you for listening to the Vet Mindworks podcast. We hope that you enjoyed it and that you've found the content helpful. If this is the case, please consider sharing and rating us, as well as providing us with feedback, including suggestions for future topics and guests. This podcast is independent and self-funded, as we see it as our way to give back to and support the profession. Our support extends to our colleagues from the Ukraine who are finding themselves going through very difficult times. If you are in a financially secure position, please consider donating to a fundraising campaign in aid of providing professional mental health support for Ukrainian veterinary colleagues. Donations for this can be made on the Galaxy Vet Foundation website, and you can find a link in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. This podcast is supported by VinEurope. Since 1991, the Veterinary Information Network, VIN, has been helping colleagues with providing all the knowledge you need for your next case, instant access to drug formularies, over 260 veterinary specialists in every specialty imaginable, weekly rounds, CPD, and an own virtual veterinary internship program. You name it, Vin has got it. Are you ready to join this independent community of nearly 100,000 colleagues? Vin is and always will be independent for vets by vets. Free trial memberships are available on vin.com. And if you're a student, Vin is absolutely free.